Luke chapter 17, and I want to read just a couple of verses and spend a few moments, a brief homily from the Scriptures concerning Thanksgiving. In fact, I've often thought of this passage as what I would call a true Thanksgiving. It's the story of the 10 lepers whom Christ healed. And we all know that out of that 10, only one came back to say thanks. And of course, that's what we do at Thanksgiving time. We dedicate ourselves to the giving of thanks to our God for all that He has done. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Now he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." It's a story about a man who gave thanks. And that's essentially what we've done tonight, individually and corporately, and what we will do tomorrow as we feast and enjoy food and as we pray and give thanks around the table for all the good things that God has done. I've often thought of this fellow and placed myself in his shoes and wondering if I'm a thankful person. When I read this passage, I see a person who's very thankful, and I just want to point out tonight 3 keys of true Thanksgiving. If you want to be thankful, I don't know about you, but as Thanksgiving rolls around, I don't want to fake it. I want to be truly thankful for all the good things that God has given me. And I think this passage reveals some keys about being truly thankful. And they're very simple, and they've come right from the passage, I believe. The first one is connection with the Lord Jesus. If you're going to be truly thankful, you've got to be connected to the Lord Jesus. You've got to know Him by faith. And I believe that Jesus makes that abundantly clear in this passage. In fact, the fellow that returned, we know, is a Samaritan. And if you know anything about Samaritans, they were not welcomed by the Jews. They were considered half-breeds. That is, they were the product of marriages between Jews and Babylonians during the Babylonian captivity. And so Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. They were considered outcasts. In fact, when you read in the Scripture in John chapter 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, she wondered why Jesus even spoke to her, because she said Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And later on, Jesus would talk about the story of the Good Samaritan, how the Levite passed by and the priest passed by, and nobody did anything for the guy who'd been beat up and thrown in the ditch until the Good Samaritan came by. And here is Jesus healing 10 individuals of their leprosy. And right after they're healed, they run away and they obey Jesus and go do what they said to do. But what I want you to see is that Jesus didn't point out and ask, "Which one of you are Jews?" And Jesus just healed all of them. And once again, we see Jesus crossing the racial, social barriers that are erected by men. You know, that's what we see in our world. There's so much hatred and so much racism and so much dislike for fellow human beings. People seem to be on the edge of exploding all the time. And here's the Lord Jesus reaching out not just to the Jews, but to this Samaritan. In fact, they all called him Master. You see that in verse 13. They called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." And he healed them all. And he sent them all to the priest. And what I want you to see in this is the bold statement that Jesus is saying, not only do I want the Jews to go, but I want the Samaritan to go to the priest. And so Jesus, by default, was making a strong statement to say, "You, a Samaritan man who were sick with leprosy, are included in this healing, but also included in the process of going to the priest and doing what Moses commanded to be done in order to be healed completely from leprosy. I love the words of Isaiah, where he spoke prophetically and said, "I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the end of the earth." The point is this: the Samaritan is us. The Samaritan is anybody who's a non-Jew. And the Lord Jesus is making a strong statement here that both Jews and Gentiles of all sorts are included in the covenant community. And he wants us, just like that Samaritan man, to experience a vital connection with him. And so he offers the welcome mat, and he says, come, no matter who you are, if you're a Gentile, if you're a Samaritan, come, no matter your background, no matter what you've done in the past. We see that on the pages of Scripture, how Jesus reached out to those who had lives of sin, to those who were outcast by society, either because of their race or lifestyle. Jesus said, come. In fact, some of my favorite words are in Matthew 11. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He established a vital connection with this man. And I want you to remember the healing and miracles performed by Jesus pointed to the real healing needed by everyone, and that is salvation, spiritual healing. Jesus performed miracles in the Bible, not so that we, 2,000 years later, would copy those miracles. I believe in miracles, don't get me wrong. But the major reason he did it was to show his identity as the Son of God, and that he could perform the greatest miracle, and that is he could forgive sin. And that's exactly what happened in Mark chapter 2 when he healed the paralytic, and the Pharisees criticized him. So who is this? Nobody can forgive sins except God alone. And Jesus looked at them and he said, what do you want me to do? Say your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man, rise, get up and walk. Jesus is making it very clear. The reason I do miracles is not to have an end in and of themselves. It's to point to the greater healing, the greater miracle, that I change hearts, and that I want a vital connection with those who are sinners. I want a personal relationship with you. Jesus wants that. In order to be truly thankful, I believe all of us need to be vitally connected to the Lord Jesus by faith, trusting him alone for our salvation, even as the Samaritan man was. Now, not only that, but there's also reflection. Connection leads to reflection. As they were running to see the priest, they were all healed. Can you imagine the excitement? I mean, leprosy was a terrible disease. It was the great leveler of society. You know, if you were Jew or Gentile, it didn't matter when you had leprosy. Everybody was in the same colony. So all of a sudden, the race issue, the race card, didn't matter anymore. And they're all running to see the priest, and all of a sudden, they're healed. And they receive what they wanted. And 9 out of 10 are caught up in the wonderful fact that they've been healed. Nothing wrong with that, except that's where it ended for them. But the Samaritan stopped. And I don't know what kind of went through his head, but I imagine it was something like this. Jesus owes me nothing. Why would he have anything to do with me? I'm not a Jew. I'm an outsider. He could have disqualified me, but he didn't. I don't deserve to be healed. But it has happened. And sometimes it's good to stop and just ponder the good things that God has done for you. You know, the Bible says none of us deserve anything except a very, very deep place in hell, frankly. But God, because of his mercy and grace, has chosen to save, chosen to call us out and redeem us by the blood of Christ. And so he calls us to be thankful for that. And that's what this man is doing. He has a connection with Jesus. Jesus has established that. Go to the priest. You're included. But on the way, he stops to reflect. And that's what we ought to do at Thanksgiving, is reflect on our position. The fact that we don't deserve healing. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve the blessings that we've talked about tonight. But nevertheless, God has given us many. Let me put it this way. Too often, we are preoccupied with the gift rather than the giver. And so often we can look at our lives and say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for the good things that you've done. I've seen God move in a mighty way these past 3 months. But I hope that will lead us to be more preoccupied with the giver and not simply the gift of a car, the gift of a job, the gift of a good health report, the gift of a marriage coming together. All those are wonderful things, but it's the giver that we must be preoccupied with. And that's what this man did. That's why he stopped. May we stop in our busyness and reflect on what Christ has done for us. He's the true gift. A relationship with Him is the gift. And if we have that gift, everything else falls into place and falls into perspective. So the man stopped. He had a connection with the Lord Jesus, and he began to reflect upon the Lord Jesus. I love the words of Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but I've had times where I wanted to walk outside and just look up at the stars and say, God, why do you bother with me? I had one of those moments the other day, just on Monday of this week, Thanksgiving week. And I thought, God, why do you bother with me? When I think about some of the most horrible moments I have, when I doubt, when I wonder what you're up to, when I question, God always seems to push me to that point. And then He moves in marvelously and lovingly, reminding me that I belong to Him, that I need to reflect more and see things from His perspective and not my own. That's what this man did. I want to challenge you this Thanksgiving to stop amidst the turkey and the dressing and the cranberry sauce and all the other things, and family members and friends, to stop and to reflect on the fact that the Lord Jesus has healed you for eternity. You're going to spend eternity with Him. Well, connection and reflection leads to devotion. It's obvious by this man's love and devotion as he returned to Jesus that his life had been changed. He stops to think about it. He says, I've got to go back and give thanks. I can't just rush to the priest. I've been healed and I've got a gift, but first things first, I've got to go back to the giver. And so what was a connection, a vital connection, led to reflection. And reflection led to incredible devotion. And you'll notice in the passage, he ran back, verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. This is a charismatic friend of ours. He threw himself at Jesus. We Presbyterians don't do that sort of thing, but this guy did. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. He not only thanked the Lord Jesus, he threw himself at His feet, an indication of worship and devotion. A new life began for him that day, but more than simply physically, he'd been included. And that's why he's so grateful. It's not just that things have been fixed in his daily routine, that he's been healed of leprosy. It is that he's been included into the covenant kingdom. And he knows how thankful he ought to be. And so he throws himself at Jesus. Let me put it this way. Real thanksgiving should begin and end at the feet of Jesus. Worshiping Him, consecrating ourselves to Him, showing devotion. And I don't know about you, but I look at my life sometimes and I think about this man. And he had to be told by Jesus, go away, go your own way. Most of the time we're going our own way. He had to be pulled away from the feet of Jesus. Most of the time, we have to be pulled to the feet of Jesus by problems and difficulties. We wait until life caves in, and then we cry out and scream, God, where are you? And we pray. Here's the man who's totally devoted out of gratitude. It's not that things are bad. He didn't wait till then. It was when things were good. And you see, connection led to reflection, and reflection led to devotion. And isn't that what we want? To walk with Jesus? To stay at the feet of Jesus, just like the story of Martha and Mary. As Martha complained about all the things she had to do and criticized her sister Mary, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, Mary has chose the better part, and it won't be taken away from her. I want to challenge you this Thanksgiving. Begin it at the feet of Jesus and stay there all throughout the year. I challenge myself to that. When I get up in the morning, that I meet with Him in prayer, I read His Word, and I go spiritually to His feet, and I cling to His feet, and humbly say, Lord, don't get me through just another day or another week. Get me through this whole year. So that when the bad report comes, or when somebody assaults me and does something evil at work, or I have a car wreck, or any other problem that happens in my life, I'm clinging to the feet of Jesus. And He's the one that has to send me away and tell me to go my own way, not me. I want to challenge you with that, to be thankful. Be have a vital connection with the Lord Jesus, reflect on Him, and be devoted to Him. And let your life mark a true thanksgiving by beginning it and continuing it at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this Samaritan. He's in the minority. Everybody else was happy with the gift, but not him. And I pray, Lord, that we would not grow lethargic and content with simply the good things you give us in life, that we would love the giver more than the gift. Father, may all of us, beginning tonight and tomorrow, lay ourselves at the feet of Jesus, give thanks, humble ourselves, apologize, repent of sin, and cling to your feet in prayer and meditation upon Scripture. Lord, may you grow us and develop us. Help us to be those who know you and those who let our light shine for you so that others might see. And bless every one of our Thanksgivings tomorrow. May we truly have something to be thankful for because we have a personal relationship with the living Christ. We make our prayer in His name. Amen.